This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump getting ready to sign his big tax and spending cut budget bill today. Last night on the tarmac next to Air Force One, he talked about it.
It does many things, but one of them is the biggest tax cuts in our country's history. And that alone makes it very popular.
The bill expected to add trillions to the national debt. At the bill signing today, a full military flyover. Severe weather in New Jersey overnight, leaving three people dead. In the Texas Hill Country, evacuations are underway because of a flash flood that sent the Guadalupe River over its banks. It's almost time for the Nathan's Coney Island Hot Dog Eating Contest. And there's one person who almost everybody loves seeing every year.
Trying to break his record of 76 hot dogs and buns, the great Joey Chestnut.
Joey Chestnut had to sit out last year because he had signed a contract with Impossible Foods. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Barr. If you're spending more time outside this holiday weekend, experts are warning about a new breed of tick and the bizarre allergy it can spread with just one bite. It's known as the Lone Star tick, and the bug is finding its way to Wisconsin from the southeast part of the country. Doctors with Mayo Clinic say they're already starting to see more patients with what's known as alpha-gal syndrome. It's an allergy to red meat after being bit by this type of tick. And these ticks aren't just in the woods.
You go back 30 years ago and you'd think of, a hunter, an avid hiker out in the woods. Now we're starting to see ticks pop up sometimes in backyards in suburban areas and stuff like that. And that's a concern.
PJ Leash is an entomologist at the UW Insect Diagnostic Lab, and though this new tick is spreading, he still considers Lyme disease from a deer tick the bigger concern. Leash also suggests using insect spray, wearing long sleeves and pants, and always checking for ticks after spending time outside. Are you noticing farmers spending more time outside working in the fields? The weather in some parts of the state is challenging and may not mean all the corn crops are knee-high by the 4th of July. The latest crop report shows farmers across Wisconsin had just 3.5 days with workable conditions during the last week. And did you know our state is ranked second for having the most organic farms in the country? Officials with Naturally Wisconsin and the Food Finance Institute are starting a new program to support those efforts and say there's also growing consumer demand for natural, healthy, and sustainable products. The group's already working with more than 800 food-focused entrepreneurs from all across the state. You can find more news anytime at civicmedia.us. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Game time comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Basketball on Tuesday, the Milwaukee Bucks waived Damian Lillard to make salary cap room and signed center Miles Turner from the Pacers in free agency. A column today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel outlines the bumpy 2 years Lillard had in Milwaukee, including that blood clot in his calf before the season-ending torn Achilles tendon.
And I got kids, I got a big family. I'm tight with my family, so automatically I start thinking about what it could mean for me personally. One of my closest cousins in 2021 had a blood clot in his calf and didn't know, during COVID they couldn't get him in because it was, everything was on Zoom. And he ended up having a pulmonary embolism and dying. Obviously, that's the first thing that comes to mind. I'm just happy to be on the other side of it.
Baseball, the Brewers in Miami to open a series against the Marlins. They lost last night 3-2 to the Mets in New York, losing that series 2-1. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be sunny and hot today. Our high right around 93 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. Good night for fireworks. We'll drop to 74 for a low. Tomorrow, breezy, mostly cloudy. Scattered thunderstorms with a high in the mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 78.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had I think I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure, you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll review the holiday weekend. Hope yours has been good. Also, Kristen Lierley, John and Gordy, and Jane Matinair will join us as well.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Hey there, it's Greg again. Just a reminder that we are not in the studio right now. This is a curated best of episode for you, but Free Ticket Friday is still happening today, and that Free Ticket Friday keyword is four, F-O-U-R, four. Get that Civic Media app, text the show, F-O-U-R, four. That will put you in the running for a four-pack of tickets for the upcoming game against Washington on July 11th. So again, get that Civic Media app, text in the keyword, and good luck to you. Coming up next for you, we've got an interview with McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company. They were a part of our Beyond the Cheese series. It's when we highlight a local Wisconsin business outside the dairy industry to show you what's going on in the state, cool things you can do, things you can buy like hats. And this is a two-part interview we did with the McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company. Have a lovely 4th of July. Stay safe, stay cool, and enjoy.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is the first Monday of the month. Therefore, it is time for our monthly segment called, Calvin,
Beyond the Cheese.
It's our opportunity to highlight businesses and industries in Wisconsin that are outside of the dairy industry. So we are delighted to be welcoming in studio from the McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company in Milwaukee, John and Kate McLaughlin. Good morning. Thank you so much for coming in.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's our pleasure to be here.
How long have McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company, how long have you been in business?
Well, we just celebrated 15 years, but we had a bit of an evolution. So we first started as the Brass Rooster.
I remember.
And then we added the Hen House. And then when we needed to come up with our business plan and our plan of attack, really, to survive COVID, we became McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company.
I'm so glad you're still there. You're still on Kinnickinnick.
Yeah, same location. We actually shrunk down.
Just a little bit.
A little bit, and refined what we really needed. And it ended up being one of the best things we've ever done.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, obviously what you do is very niche. You make hats by hand. You are a haberdasher. You are a milliner. You actually still use the old forms that they used to use. It's an art, what you do. It is.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, thank you. It is when you walk into our shop and atelier, it is like literally stepping back in time because we're surrounded by antiques making contemporary headwear.
And when you were both in high school, was this something? I want to be a hat maker one day. That's really where I'm going to put all my energy. How did this even evolve?
She's sitting right here.
It was you, Kate.
Well, I always knew from a little girl on I wanted to be a costume designer because of Singing in the Rain, my favorite movie. And so in the 80s, I was always making all of my own clothes. I was literally Molly Ringwald in Pretty in Pink.
How awesome.
And so junior year in high school, when we had home ec classes, I made my very first hat. And that hat was something you would expect on stage. And it was large and it was tapestry with flowers and feathers and veiling. And my classmates made like little braided headbands.
That would have been me.
Yeah. So, you know, I went with it with gusto. And then in fashion design school, there was only one millinery class available. And I took it and excelled. And then it was something I developed throughout my entire career in fashion, in bridal, and then in costume tech, being a costume technician and designer.
The whole process, because I interviewed you many years ago when I was working for a different radio station, the whole process is so much more complicated than people realize, right?
100%.
So if you can briefly explain the making of a hat.
So the whole thing actually starts with sitting down with the client and asking them a huge barrage of questions.
Okay.
So it'll be everything from what colors they tend to wear, what they're going to use it for, if it's a special event or if it's for every day, if it needs to be rugged or... So we go through all sorts of things and then we have them try on different styles that we have in already.
Sure.
And then we'll look at different colors and we start going through our vintage selection of ribbons and we refine everything down, take measurements. And then actually a device that I have here that was made in 1892, we use for every custom hat that we make. And it's called the Conformator. It was made in Paris in 1892. It looks like a mechanical top hat. And when you put that on somebody, it punches out a card with a 1/6 reduction of their head size and shape. And then we put that into another piece, which is an enlarger.
Okay.
And that becomes a...
The template?
Yeah, it becomes a perfect copy of their head. So we can take that and put it on the inside of the hat, and it custom shapes the hat to their head without them being there.
Wow. Now, there used to be a lot of chemicals involved in the process of making hats, like really not good for you chemicals.
Oh, absolutely. And when we're talking about hat making, there's actually two main divisions. That's millinery and hatting. So millinery is the art of women's hat making and hatting is the art of men's hat making.
So you're not haberdasher anymore?
A haberdasher is somebody who sells men's hats and other goods.
Oh.
So when we first opened, I was a haberdasher. We all were. But when I'm making a woman's hat, I'm a milliner. When I'm making a men's hat, I'm a hatter.
And you're a hatter.
Yeah.
Actually, we have three of maybe about 15 master dress hatters left in the country.
Yeah, in our little atelier.
In your store.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but I can tell you none of the chemicals that we're using are as terrible to our bodies as they were at the turn of the last century all the way through like the 1930s.
Yeah.
We're using much kinder chemicals and stiffeners and sizings and glues and things to make the hats.
If you're just joining us, we are going beyond the cheese with the McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company, and John and Kate McLaughlin are in studio with us talking about the art of making men's hats and making women's hats. They used to use mercury.
Oh, yeah.
So good for you.
100% gives you neurological damage.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
The first sign of it actually is the loss of fine motor skills, so you would get tremors. And the hat-making capital of the world at the time was Danbury, Connecticut. And mercury poisoning was so prominent in that area that it was actually known as the Danbury Shakes.
And how were they using mercury in the making of hats?
They're treating the fur.
The fur felts that we use to make the hats. And they would put them through huge mercury baths to make them more water repellent and water resistant.
Oh, my.
So it wasn't just the people working the mercury baths themselves. It was people handling the hats all the way up to the trimming rooms. The vapors would affect the people on the floor above. There were all sorts of problems.
And how long did it take them to realize that mercury was the problem?
Until the early 30s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So there are little tests we can do today to check like an antique or a vintage hat. And we do hat restoration and renovation at the shop as well. We're actually one of the very few shops left in the country that will do full refurbishment of hats, men's and women's. And there's been a few times where we've had to let a customer know that because of the age of the hat, that it was treated. And so the hatters have to deal with that differently. And of course, price accordingly.
Sure.
For that.
Well, that's great to know, though. If someone has great grandpa's favorite fedora that's been sitting in a closet for 45 years, there's a place to go and have it restored. That's remarkable.
That's one of her favorite things to do.
It really is.
Oh, my gosh. Renovating grandpa's hat.
Really?
Resizing it, putting in new sweatbands, new ribbons, giving them a new life. I mean, that's a huge, because the quality of the base felt that
right.
they're made out of is better than what you can get now.
Now, I bet.
So refurbishing them is you're getting a better quality piece and you have an emotional attachment to it. So why not refurbish something instead of making something new?
And I think the best gift to everybody working on those hats is when the hatters, John and Steve, get into it and they hit that grandpa's hat with steam. They can often say to the customer, did your grandpa smoke cigars? Did your grandpa use hair product?
Did he wear Bayrum hair pomade?
Gel or something?
Because
you can smell it.
Oh, he's a Dapper Dan man.
Yeah. Also, too, one of the things John will often surprise customers with is, oh, grandpa was left-handed. And they're like, how would you know that?
And you can tell from the wear pattern on
the
hat.
Yeah.
I can tell which direction they wore it, if they tilted it to the left or right, depending on if there's dirt and wear marks on the felt from the top of their ear.
So you're doing an archaeological
forensic
dig on
forensic hat work.
And that is so cool.
And then the stories about grandpa, and then the tears often come. And then I think one of the best things we can do is we have a device from the 1920s that will perforate initials into this leather sweatband. And we've had several times where a hat has come in and it fit the customer. They had the same size head as grandpa. And grandpa's initials will be on one side of the hat.
Made with the same machine from the 20s. So when we do it,
it matches.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we put their initials in the hat.
How long did it take you to acquire all of that machinery from the early days of hat making? That must have been a process in and of itself.
Finding the equipment is half of the battle.
Right.
So there are a good amount of people who are interested, but they don't have, you can't be a race car driver without a race car.
Right.
And finding the right equipment is next to impossible these days. So we were quite fortunate. A big bulk of our men's hatting equipment actually came from the country's still running oldest hat shop, which is in Detroit, Henry the Hatter. And when their master hatter, Clarence, retired after 45 years in the business, he started there as a porter in the bathroom after World War II
and ended up
as the master hatter. And the third gentleman in the world to hold the current owner when he was born because he worked for his father.
That's
and now
crazy.
He worked, his daughter works for them now.
And they are still in existence.
And he wanted his equipment to come to Kate and I because he knew that we'd keep it together and use it for what it was meant for.
So we really just feel that we're the current custodians of this collection.
And we add on to it everywhere we can find pieces.
I bet.
It's a dopamine hit whenever hat blocks or hatting tools come up. It's like our temperature rises and we have to have it.
Wool hunt leads down.
But I would think that those pieces, when you talk about the blocks and all the things, the early stepping stones of making hats, either just got thrown away over the years, right?
Oh, and there was...
Or ended up in somebody's attic or in their garage.
When... Late 60s, early 70s, things were really shutting down. Men's hat wearing was not in vogue for the majority of people.
Right.
There's a picture in Pittsburgh of a huge hat factory that used to be there. And there were so many wood forms and blocks that there were teams of people just throwing them out the windows into the river.
Oh.
And there's a burn pile in the lot next to the building where they're just burning.
That must
all
just
of the fo-
break
oh, it kills
your
me.
Heart.
It makes me want to go scuba diving in the river.
I bet
in Pittsburgh, which nobody wants to do.
and the whole process now. So dealing with contemporary hat blocks, and then having antique ones fixed. We lost our last American hat block maker over a decade ago now, and he retired in his late 80s. And so when it comes to the wood forms, there's no one in this country that continued the art
of making
the
those.
Sculpture and the proportion of making those. So if we're getting anything new, the best is coming from Great Britain or Australia.
We're going to continue our conversation with John and Kate McLaughlin with McLaughlin and Hayes Hatters Milliners on KK in Milwaukee. Stay with us. This is Beyond the Cheese. On Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Thomas Jefferson is credited with most of the text of the Declaration of Independence, but the independence part came from a Virginian named Richard Henry Lee on June 7, 1776. The First Continental Congress sent a list of grievances in 1774 to King George III, among them the loss of their rights under English law, the occupation by British forces in peacetime, and the oppressive coercive acts passed by Parliament to shut down colonial unrest. The King and Parliament didn't respond other than to pass more restrictive laws. By mid-May 1776, 8 colonies supported independence, including Virginia, which directed its delegates to support independence at the Second Continental Congress. Virginia delegate Richard Henry Lee, on June 7th, presented his resolution for independence to the Congress in Philadelphia, which tabled action until July 2nd. In the interim, Thomas Jefferson, with light editing by Benjamin Franklin and John Adams, crafted a statement which would become the Declaration of Independence, which included Richard Henry Lee's Independence Resolution word for word. Resolved that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. Read the full Declaration of Independence at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at FightingBlindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, it's Greg again. Just a reminder that we are not in the studio right now. This is a curated best of episode for you, but Free Ticket Friday is still happening today, and that Free Ticket Friday keyword is four, F-O-U-R, four. Get that Civic Media app, text the show, F-O-U-R-4. That will put you in the running for a four-pack of tickets for the upcoming game against Washington on July 11th. So again, get that Civic Media app, text in the keyword, and good luck to you.
7-5
Coming up next for you, we've got an interview with McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company. They were part of our Beyond the Cheese series. It's when we highlight a local Wisconsin business outside the dairy industry to show you what's going on in the state, cool things you can do, things you can buy like hats. And this is a two-part interview we did with the McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company. Have a lovely 4th of July. Stay safe, stay cool, and enjoy.
Check it out after the show and take a look at some of the wonderful, wonderful hats for men and women that you make. We need to bring hats back.
Absolutely.
We really, really do. My father was a mortician. He always had his fedora that he wore. You would not go out without them. What are your customers like now? Who's shopping at McLaughlin and Hayes?
Well, our mantra is stand out, look sharp. So we have clients who, of course, come in for that aesthetic. That they, you know, really pay attention to how they present themselves, either because that's how they grew up or they're having a change in life and they want to just give themselves a little more self-care.
Sure.
And we get people from four or, I mean, even younger to dead.
You have four-year-olds who want hats?
Or their parents do.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And they'll bring them in and it little girls who want to put something on, you know, everybody, and they're just... When the kids come in and they see the variety of colors and textures everything. It's huge for them. So you see what they're drawn towards, and everybody's got something different.
I bet.
Yeah,
how
it's the last thing you put on. It's the first thing people notice, and it's just an outward expression of who we are.
Yep, absolutely. And that's why when you become a hat wearer, the day you show up someplace without wearing a hat, it is jarring to other people.
I bet.
Because others look forward to seeing what the hat wearers are wearing, even though that they may not be wearing them yet themselves. They look forward to it. And it's almost every customer of ours, man, woman, everyone in between. It gives a permission for people to say, you know what? I can do that too. I have now been inspired. You're wearing that. You're being you. That's fantastic. And so that's something too that we really encourage in the shop is to, of course, we rarely put a wrong hat on a person unless they ask.
Because but they do exist.
They do exist. Sure. They do. There's a lot of math that goes into what we do. And but there's just really a joy in our shop because people not only are coming in to get what they want, but they're discovering something about themselves.
And you said something important, though. Not every type of hat looks good on every human.
No, not at all.
I need a brim. I have to have a hat with a brim. Otherwise, I look like a mushroom head. It's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And so it's very much a personal thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yes, it is. It comes down to style. It comes down to what colors you're comfortable wearing. Or if there's an event that you're going to that you need a hat.
Do you do a lot of weddings?
Actually, right now, we're doing quite a few in the Atelier. Beautiful couture and bespoke bridal.
Oh,
and now,
gorgeous.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. That's where a lot of my passion lies. And
she has a long history with bridal. When she lived in Detroit through all of the 90s, actually in the city, she worked in high-end bridal. And so that's something in a theme that's come through. So when she gets to do those pieces now.
Oh, I bet it's magnificent. I know you do fascinators too.
Oh, yes.
Which is like a half hat commitment.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Because you don't, if you wear a hat, you are married to the hat, mm-hmm. essentially. But a fascinator is a little bit more forgiving.
Absolutely, it is. And there tend to be more sculpture that we wear that are just fun and fantastic.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
So it just really, every hat fascinator, whimsy that we might make, they're just so personal. And another thing that we're starting to see is more moms wearing hats for weddings.
Good.
Yes, which is lovely.
Mother of the bride, you mean?
Mother of the bride and guests. Because it's a wonderful thing that I think a lot of Americans have forgotten, that when we celebrate ourselves or we celebrate the rites of passages for others, we forget that we can dress to celebrate them. And we're not dressing to be a showboat. We're dressing because we want to honor them and say, we think you're special. And so here I'm going to put on this fabulous hat because this is a party.
Yeah, there was one evening we actually had a worker at the Warner Theater for the symphony who showed us to our seats and then said, I'd just like to take a moment and say thank you for dressing up this evening. You guys look fantastic. It's such a pleasure when people dress up because we understand that it's a tip of the hat, no pun intended,
to the event.
To the performers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're showing your respect and deference to them.
Yes, you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. You got to check it out. There's a reason you need a fascinator. I know there is. There is something coming up where you need one, or a felt hat or a straw hat or any kind of hat that you're looking for. They can do it at McLaughlin and Hayes. We only have about 90 seconds left. Are you training any young people? Is there anyone who's coming in?
When we changed our name, we took our partner of 11 years on, and he's the Hayes. And then we do have a couple of people, but nobody dedicated. We teach classes on both men's and women's hat making that can be customized for either groups or longer term to learn skill sets. But we don't have a dedicated apprentice at At the time.
At the time. But, you know, they're very well. One will pop up. I'm also currently teaching at Mount Mary University in the fashion department.
Fabulous.
Millinery.
John and Kate McLaughlin with McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company on Kinnickinnick in Milwaukee. Go check it out. We will include a link to their website in our show notes. Don't miss it. Thank you both so much for coming down. Really, really appreciate your time.
It was our pleasure.
This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bussing up my white tie.
Listening to the talk of lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Barr. If you're spending more time outside this holiday weekend, experts are warning about a new breed of tick and the bizarre allergy it can spread with just one bite. It's known as the Lone Star tick, and the bug is finding its way to Wisconsin from the southeast part of the country. Doctors with Mayo Clinic say they're already starting to see more patients with what's known as alpha-gal syndrome. It's an allergy to red meat after being bit by this type of tick. And these ticks aren't just in the woods.
You go back 30 years ago and you'd think of, a hunter, an avid hiker out in the woods. Now we're starting to see ticks pop up sometimes in backyards in suburban areas and stuff like that. And that's a concern.
PJ Leash is an entomologist at the UW Insect Diagnostic Lab. And though this new tick is spreading, he still considers Lyme disease from a deer tick the bigger concern. Leash also suggests using insect spray, wearing long sleeves and pants, and always checking for ticks after spending time outside. Are you noticing farmers spending more time outside working in the fields? The weather in some parts of the state is challenging and may not mean all the corn crops are knee-high by the 4th of July. The latest crop report shows farmers across Wisconsin had just 3.5 days with workable conditions during the last week. And did you know our state is ranked second for having the most organic farms in the country? Officials with Naturally Wisconsin and the Food Finance Institute are starting a new program to support those efforts and say there's also growing consumer demand for natural, healthy, and sustainable products. The group's already working with more than 800 food-focused entrepreneurs from all across the state. You can find more news anytime at civicmedia.us. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Big Brother Season 27 is about to drop, but there is an exciting new twist, according to the people who created said twist. Variety says three contestants from previous seasons will drop by every Friday night to analyze the sitch. Other highlights for this coming season will include a mystery hotel theme and a living room with chess guardians, whatever that means. Season 27 of Big Brother drops July 10th on CBS. In other Season 27 news, the creators of South Park are not happy about the delay in their latest season reaching viewers. Trey Parker and Matt Stone are blaming the Paramount merger with Skydance for the long wait between seasons. Season 26 finished 2 years ago. A recent update was that the new season would drop July 9, but that has been pushed back again to July 27. Just guessing, we will see Parker and Stone's frustration with the networks in a South Park episode in the near future. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be sunny and hot today. Our high right around 93 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. Good night for fireworks. We'll drop to 74 for a low. Tomorrow, breezy, mostly cloudy. Scattered thunderstorms with a high in the mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 80.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Why do we want to be proud to be an American? Why are we celebrating the United States?
Let's say that you're going to define America in political terms. I define it in terms of what the Founding Fathers did in 1776. An ideal that we are still trying to fully live up to. That all men, all people, I would say, are created equal. All Americans are represented by the stars and stripes. I love the 4th of July.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Maggie Dawn.
Happy Independence Day. On the next show, enjoy a special best of episode. And while we're off enjoying family, friends, food, fun, and fireworks, don't miss your chance to win Brewers tickets with Free Ticket Friday.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Hey there, everybody. It's Greg again. Just a reminder that we are not in the studio right now. This is a Calvin, best of episode for you, but 4th of July.
Free Ticket Friday is still happening today.
Hope you're staying safe.
Free Ticket Friday keyword is 4.
But we have a wonderful segment for you right now.
It is part of our Text
Audio
the Show
Sorbet, where we take a moment to lighten things up. You in the running for a 4-pack of tickets for the upcoming game against Washington.
There, the
July
right there.
11th. Audio so Sorbet again, is when we take a moment to step back from the news,
text in the keyword,
and good luck
to
on
you.
The show.
Have a lovely 4th
coming
of July.
Up next for you,
we've got an interview
cool
with McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company. They were part of our Beyond
good
the Cheese series.
Good morning and welcome
series.
Back.
It's when we highlight a local Wisconsin business outside the dairy industry to show you what's going on in the state.
Coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine.
And this is a 2-part interview we did with the McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company. Have a lovely 4th of July. Stay safe, stay cool,
or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Going to get to Audio Sorbet in just a second. Want to thank everybody who took part in our statewide Text Win Scotty Summer Contest. And our grand prize winners, Trace, listening to WMDX in Madison, and Melissa, listening to WHSM in Hayward, picking up our grand prizes, a getaway either in Door County or Baraboo with a gas card to get you there. And we had many, many other winners, either a Brewers tickets or $100 in cash. Congratulations to everyone. And thank you so much for taking part. The winning does not end, even though that contest has wrapped up.
Yeah.
On Friday. It's Free Ticket Fridays.
Oh, baby.
It's back this Friday. We are going to be doing essentially the same thing. You've got five chances to win. You want to text in the keyword we will give you on Friday morning using the app, and then you have a chance to pick up a 4-pack of tickets to the Milwaukee Brewers club level seats, good seats. Free Tickets Fridays coming back this Friday. Listen for that keyword with Pat Kreitlow, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, our show, 11 to 2. Tom Hartman, 2 to 4. Todd Alba, 2 to 4. And then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Did I get those right?
Wait.
Tom Hartman, 11 to 2. Todd Alba, 2 to 4. Maggie, 4 to 6.
Yes.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yes, that would be right.
Yeah.
Free Ticket Fridays.
We did it.
Back this coming Friday. All right. As we always do, this is a segment called Audio Sorbet. Take a little break from the news, just because we all need a rest.
And we can.
And we can. So we were talking about this as we were setting up this show today, and I'm not even sure how we landed on this. But we're talking about soap operas.
You brought it up.
I don't know how that happened. Yeah. I was talking about Santa Barbara for some reason, and we started talking about soap operas. Mm-hmm. So here is the question for today's Audio Sorbet. Wide open, no judgment.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. What was your story? We all watch soap operas at one point in our lives, male, female, I don't care.
Yeah.
What was your story, or what was maybe your mother's or your grandmother's story? Couldn't miss it. Don't bug me. From 1 to 2, I'm watching my story.
Yeah.
What was or is your story? Because there's still soaps.
I am going to open it up. I did not clear this, folks, with Jane or Calvin. I will open up the acceptability factor on this for those who will say, wrestling is my stories.
Thank you.
Watching wrestling.
Pro wrestling. They are male soaps.
They're soaps.
They are.
They're soaps for all.
Yep.
And so if that is your way of kicking back and getting some good stories
in.
That's great. It's all good.
You got the heels, right?
Got the baby faces.
Got the good guys and the heels.
Sometimes heels become baby faces. Sometimes baby faces become heels.
The trading.
It's, oh, traitors, there's intrigue and there's
turning and backstabbing.
Backstabbing. Oh, ha, ha, ha.
The only thing that wrestling misses is a good case of amnesia. Do we ever see amnesia in pro wrestling?
Amnesia, I'm not sure exactly, but there was a storyline like many, many years ago where Linda McMahon, our now Secretary of Education, was in a coma, and she had no idea what was going on. She was unresponsive, and Vince McMahon was a naughty boy during that time. It was a really weird time in the late 90s, early 2000s with wrestling. It was really gross. But, yeah, honestly, the storylines you see in wrestling are the same you see in soap operas. And what I thought was interesting when you mentioned Santa Barbara, I don't even know why you mentioned Santa Barbara.
It was about an actress.
Oh, yes.
She was one of the lead actresses in Santa Barbara who left the show and became a nun.
That's right. That's right. And I said that Santa Barbara was the first soap opera that I ever remembered that got canceled because at that point in my life, you had
Days of Our Lives,
All My Children, General Hospital.
As
the World Turns. They were all on, and they all seemed to have been on since the inception of time itself.
Seriously.
And so when Santa Barbara came out, I'm like, oh, there's another soap opera. And they said it's being canceled. I'm like, wait, how? How do you cancel a soap opera? So, yeah. And we were discussing this from the viewpoint of, like, I had never in my life up until 1996, fall of 1996, I never watched one.
You were in college.
I was in college. I never watched 1 millisecond of a soap opera.
Never.
Never. Because they just seemed like, and one.
So your mom, well, your mom was working.
My
so
mom was, she worked 9 to 5, and she didn't come home and watch them. She had no interest in soap operas. My dad didn't watch them before work. So there was nothing like that happening in the house. Never watched them. Thought they were for girls or for women whatever. But also, it just seemed like it was a massive amount of information from all the years past to take in and
understand. All the storylines, the backstories, yeah.
By the end of that school year, in May of 1997, I was part of a group that was either between, depending on the day, between 20 to 40 people in the common room.
At college
at UW, Wisconsin, Waukesha. Go Hilltoppers. That's not the thing, but it's whatever. Harvard on the Hill. That's what they called it. Harvard on the Hill. We would watch religiously Days of Our Lives at noon every day, Monday through Friday. And it wasn't
20 to 30 college
20
kids.
To 40. It was packed. Sometimes, like, you had to sit, like, crouch next to people. It was packed in there to watch it sometimes. And it wasn't a bunch of 18, 19, and 20-year-olds, like, being whatever, like, impetuous and making fun of it. It was, shut up. It's on. We're listening. Shh. Like, shh, shh, shh. I need to know why John Black is back.
Which is hilarious because it's not like you're going to miss anything because they're going to recap the whole thing in 2 days.
Oh, my gosh. The soap operas, the kings and queens of exposition.
Oh, and just drawing, dragging things out. What is your story? What was your story? I love that you had 40 college kids.
Mm-hmm. Real watching, good use of our time.
Yes, watching soap operas.
Yeah.
No shame, no judgment. What was your story? 855-752-4842. Dave from New Berlin, Days of Our Lives.
Mm-hmm.
Carol from Waukesha, listening on WAUK, like sands through the hourglass. So are the days of our lives. Julie from Wausau, I work nights. Now I watch Seaside Hotel. I never liked soap operas, but my brothers watched them.
Yeah. And then maybe PBS could be considered soap opera. C-SPAN could be a soap opera.
Watching their coverage
of the Congress, definitely a soap opera, especially when they get those callers in. That's hilarious.
Gail from New Berlin listening on WAUK, Dark Shadows all the way. And Ronnie from Horicon, Dark Shadows. It was ahead of his time. I would race home from grade school to watch Dark Shadows.
Yeah.
With the least attractive leading vampire on the planet, Jonathan Frakes.
What I find really funny about Dark Shadows is if you watch reruns now, you can find it anywhere. It's on probably YouTube as well. But it had the set value or the because it was it was a vampire family,
right?
So
it was an old gothic mansion kind of thing.
So there was quote special effects. But if you were also a fan of Doctor Who from the 70s, you're like, oh, you have $40 in that budget. Okay, great. I can see the strings on the bat.
Oh, there were, Dark Shadows was especially well known for that. They would have boom mics, you know, in the middle of the scene. And yeah, they spent a whole lot of money on that. What was your story? 855-752-4842. Jim from Brookfield is on the line. Good morning, Jim. Thanks so much for joining us.
Sure, you're welcome. Good morning, Jay. Good morning, Greg. Okay, my go-to can't miss show, and hear me out on this. It was an evening soap opera once a week. It was ER.
That was
a weekly running soap opera with all the drama and the characters and the romance and the, you know, whatever, the catastrophes in the hospital. And that was must-see TV on Thursday night watching ER.
It was essentially General Hospital, but at night.
Yeah. Yeah. With
very well put, Jane. Yes, it was essentially General Hospital PM.
That's so awesome, Jim. Thank you. Really appreciate
Jim,
it.
Jim, thank you so much. And I have to amend my statement.
Uh-oh.
When I said before earlier, I officially retract my statement about never watching a millisecond of soap operas.
Because you watched ER?
No.
No?
Growing up, I watched Dallas Dynasty and Falcon Crest.
Famous soaps.
Famous nighttime soap.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. The Carringtons.
Dynasty.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I liked Dallas more than all. That was my favorite of all of them. But
see, that's the one I never watched.
Oh, I loved Dallas. And I was like 7 and 8 when I'm watching these shows.
And
I should not have been watching these shows.
Wow. What was your story? 855-752-4842. It's Audio Sorbet. We are talking soap operas. Roger from Stevens Point, Guiding Light.
Yep.
Carol from Waukesha. Even though The Days of Our Lives was my story, the best soap opera moment was when Scotty caught the bouquet at Luke and Laura's wedding. Oh, Carol, we could sit down and go through a case of wine talking about the whole Luke and Laura storyline.
That was appointment television, wasn't it?
Oh, my God, that wedding. But there was a really twisted backstory to that whole relationship. And, yeah, that's a whole different discussion.
You mean their love wasn't just tried and true from the beginning?
No, there was a whole rape thing in there.
God!
Yeah.
Why did I say anything?
That whole Luke and Laura thing. But yes, it was. Oh my God, that wedding was probably one of the biggest, the largest viewed things.
Let me check and see.
In history. 855-752-4842. We're talking soap operas. Dick from Oak Creek is joining us. Good morning, Dick. What was your story?
Okay, a tie between Dallas and Dark Shadows.
Okay.
So you were another Dark Shadows fan.
Oh, yes. I mean, it was silly. It was crazy. But it was funny.
What other soap opera could you have that had a vampire and a werewolf?
Right?
Right?
A witch?
A witch? Yeah, the witch and the warlock. Oh, my God. That's so funny.
You're going to go home and watch it on YouTube today, aren't you?
I am. I'm going to go search for Dark Shadows. Thank you, Dick. That's awesome.
Adam on the live stream says, my millennial stories consisted of binging the OC DVDs. Oh, yeah. For people of, like, under the age of 40, the OC was a big thing. Calvin, did you have anything?
I've never actively watched a soap opera, but my mom stayed home until I was in fourth grade, so she would have them on. She doesn't watch them now, so she must not have liked them that much.
Right.
But I remember Days of Our Lives, obviously. And I actually haven't heard The Young and the Restless mentioned.
That's right.
Both those shows have been running for over 50 years. So it's kind of crazy to think that those were the same shows my mom was watching when she was a child.
I just read an interview with Eric Braeden, who plays Victor. He's one of the leads on Young and the Restless. He's been doing that part for 50 years.
I mean, that's probably a third generational show now.
Absolutely.
And 30 million people watched Luke and Laura's Wedding. I can't believe you said Young and the Restless.
It was a big one.
Oh my God.
We got a couple of minutes left. If you want to share your story, your favorite soap, 855-752-4842.
Matt in Richland Center, listen. Says one of my earliest childhood memories was Reva driving off the bridge on Guiding Light. Jane is in hog heaven right now. She's loving every minute of this.
I just think about some of the storylines and dual personalities. We just don't have enough of that anymore.
No. And if you want to watch a great parody, a great roasting of soap operas, the movie Soap Dish. Whoopi Goldberg, Sally Field.
Kevin Kline.
Elizabeth Shue. Robert Downey Jr.
It's,
oh, my God.
It's brilliant. Yeah, it's brilliant. All right, coming up, we're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing on the Other Side, One Toke Over the Line edition. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Now there's a new way to take charge of your blood sugar. Introducing New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula from the makers of the nation's best-selling garlic supplement. New Garlic helps maintain healthy blood sugar levels with clinically supported levels of garlic, plus a custom blend of vitamins and minerals, and it's odor-free. Take charge of your blood sugar with New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Hey, everybody, there, it's Greg again. Just one more time for the show. Remember, the studio recording contest, we are off today for the fourth, but remember, it's Free Ticket Friday. Free Ticket Friday is for F-O-U-R. And that Free Ticket Friday keyword is for F-O-U-R. Free Ticket Friday is happening on the fourth, so be a part of it, and you have to have that app to participate. So that will put you in the running for a four-pack of tickets for the upcoming game against Washington on July 11th. So again, it's the Not So Hot Pursuit Edition. Text in the keyword, and good luck to you. We hope you have a great
coming
day.
Coming up next for Happy you, we've got July. An interview with McLaughlin and Hayes cool. Hat Company. They were part of our Beyond the Cheese series.
Good morning and it's welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air, Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach,
to show you what's going
President
on in the
Young
state.
Person cool Calvin on the board,
do,
coming to you live from our studio
and
at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tomorrow is Friday, so Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and the founder of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area, going to be here. He had an op-ed out this week causing some kerfuffle.
And we got some kerfuffle about it, too.
We did.
Yeah, there was kerfuffling everywhere.
Yes, so he will join us tomorrow to talk about why he thinks Governor Evers should not run for a third term, and many, many more things.
Yep.
Also, just a reminder, after 11 o'clock, be listening for your keyword with Tom Hartman. You want to text that in using the Civic Media app. You have an hour to do that. then you're in the running for either $100 cash, a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets. Everyone who enters in the running for one of two grand prizes, a summer getaway to Door County or Baraboo with gas to get you there.
Hot cash and gas money.
Hot cash and gas.
Hot cash and
gas. Hot cash and gas.
That's so good.
Our statewide Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. Be listening for that keyword coming up after 11 o'clock, then at 2 with Todd Alba, 4 with Maggie Dawn. Tomorrow, the last day of the contest, 4 shots in the 7, 11, 2, and 4 p.m. hours.
Okay. All right.
Right now,
I can't enter.
No, none of us can enter. We cannot play. 10:54, Calvin, that means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays at civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. Janesays at civicmedia.us. This from the Associated Press. No one claiming this byline.
It's probably Ben Hooper.
Sure, why? headline reads, not so hot pursuit of burglary suspect sees police cars chase tractor excavator at walking pace. Police in South Carolina engaged in a not so hot pursuit as they chased a tractor excavator down a main highway for more than an hour. The chase reached speeds of 3 miles an hour.
Hey, Myrtle, get out here. It's a car chase. Don't worry. You can finish the dishes. You're not going to miss it.
Officers on a different call say they actually saw the big piece of construction equipment go across the highway about 3:30 in the morning. A few minutes later, they got a burglary call from a business. So somebody went and stole this excavator and then drove away. Several cars immediately joined in the very slow speed pursuit. The excavator was going so slowly, the cruisers would have to briefly stop several times so they wouldn't pass it.
I just
don't pass him. Don't pass him. Don't pass.
Yeah.
They had their blue lights and sirens on. They told the excavator driver over loudspeakers he was under arrest and needed to pull over. Other cruisers blocked traffic. The chase went on for an hour and 12 minutes.
Why did they even have to use like they could have just walked up to the thing and said,
and
hey,
jumped on board.
Steve, get out.
The chase went on for an hour and 12 minutes before the excavator drove onto the local county fairgrounds property where it got stuck. The driver then tried to run. He was followed by a drone until a police dog and handler finally caught up with him.
Wait, I'm sorry. Okay, we start off with a 3-mile-an-hour chase. Cops are, as Todd Alba say, turn their cherries and berries on.
Yep.
And then it goes high-tech running the fugitive?
Yeah, like, yeah. He's trying. They could have jumped on board the excavator.
I was going to say, just jump on board the excavator, open the door. It's probably going to have a door.
And say you're under arrest.
Just stop. This is embarrassing. No. But they somehow a higher-speed foot chase ensues. This is where it gets truly confusing, and honestly doesn't make the cops look that good.
No, it doesn't. Driver tried to run, was followed by a drone until a police dog and handler caught up. The 53-year-old was charged with failure to stop for a blue light and 2 counts of malicious injury to property. He is in the Charleston County Jail on a $22,000 bond, according to jail records.
Is there no... There was no charge of theft?
Not in this.
Grand Theft Excavator? No.
That's the next movie Nicolas Cage is going to do. Grand Theft Excavator.
Two-thirds are just going to be the chase.
Vin Diesel.
Exactly how it went from start to finish. That hour chase. This is amazing. I love this story.
It's in the Tisbet Hall of Fame.
Why did nobody take credit for this story, huh?
Calvin, that wraps up today's episode of...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Oh, I like that one. That's one of my new favorites. Thank you, Greg.
Doom, 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 doom,
I know,
doom,
it's
doom.
Like, quick, jump on board. Get him. Okay. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers, because without you, absolutely nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. We got news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, 11 to 2, Todd Alba, 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6, Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8 p.m. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump today signing the mega spending bill into law. The White House ceremony will include a military flyover. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky writing on X, he and President Trump had a conversation today following a massive drone attack by Russia overnight in Ukraine. Severe weather in the Northeast, leaving three people dead in New Jersey. This woman lives near where a tree fell on a car, killing a woman.
Then I looked to my right and I saw the tree on the car, and I had realized that the whole sidewalk had come up. A lot of people, it was raining, it was very chaotic. A lot of people were trying to look inside the car.
The driver had pulled over to try to ride out the storm. Flash flooding in Texas Hill Country. Water rescues going on now. There are fatalities, but they don't know exactly how many. Tens of thousands of Oasis fans have descended on Cardiff, Wales ahead of the band's first gig since 2009. Every pub and bar along the main street is filled with people. The stadium where they're performing for two nights has a capacity of 74,000. This is ABC News.